Good afternoon, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a midweek Bible study. Let's Talk About Jesus is the title of our midweek Bible study. Wherever we pick up the Bible, wherever we look, we find that Jesus is somewhere in that text, that something that relates to Him, that is prophetic of Him, promises of the coming Messiah in the Old Covenant, the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, we're so glad in the busyness of life that you have taken time, that you value the Word of God and what it can do for you in your life. If you receive it into a good ground heart, scriptures are clear. There's a promise. It'll bring forth fruit in your life 30, 60, and 100 fold. So we always say this, or we're not always, but many, many times in our church service, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Why? Because you're going to get exposed to the Word of the Living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to expose you right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so take off the mask. Get exposed today. I'm talking about the mask of I've got all I need, all I want, all there is. No. The Bible is an inexhaustible treasure. Amen. That the more you study it, the more jewels you find in it, the more precious things you find, and powerful things and pertinent to the days that we are living in these last days, when it seems that the wicked are prospering while the righteous are persecuted. Listen, that's the title of our teaching today from the Word of God. When the wicked prosper while the righteous are persecuted. How should we respond to that? How should we look at that through the lens of eternity and not just like them through the lens of this temporal body and this temporal world? I want you to turn with me, if you will, a Psalm of Asaph in Psalm 73. He had a struggle with this issue, and a lot of people are struggling with this issue today, wondering why the wicked seem to be doing well, while the righteous are under the gun and under persecution many times from the very people that seem to be blessed beyond measure materially. And even in their court systems, they can hire the best lawyers. I feel sorry for the guy that is appointed and overworked and overloaded attorney who probably wouldn't be doing that if they could find a better area to use their expertise, because it's just not one of those jobs that you can retire from at 50 and live in an opulence for the rest of your life as a lawyer. It's a job that you probably shouldn't even consider unless you just have you want justice for people who have no representation, and you want them to have representation that they might have a shot at justice just as much. See, that's the inequity between the rich and the poor. This is beyond black and white and the different religions of the world. This is a cultural thing that is global. The rich oppressing the poor. The New Testament says if they could just take lift their little finger, that's all it would take. Signing a little check, signing a little agreement, signing a little document, they could take the burden off of the poor, but they just won't do it. They just are too greedy, too self-serving in order to help anyone else with all that they are seemingly blessed with. So if you'll turn with me, I'll preface this. A Psalm of Asaph, Psalm 73. I was working for Tampa Electric, been out on a line crew to put up lines in the wee hours of the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, repairing lines that were down. So people have electricity. Somebody had to do it. I was bivocational. I was pastoring. I did that for 12 years out of the 50 years of being the pastor and evangelist at the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida. On the way back on a line crew in the wee hours of the morning, a Sunday school teacher from another denomination riding with me asked me the question, the very question, why do the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous are persecuted? And I quoted this scripture to him, not the fullness of it, but the parts of it, while driving back, just breaking day. And it's a Psalm of Asaph, and it's in Psalm 73. And he was a Sunday school teacher in his denomination. And even Christians ask this question, this inequity that we see. And it says in Psalm 73, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such that are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's stumbling at this issue. Why? Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now he's going to enumerate that. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. You remember what I told you about the lawyer, the high-priced lawyer that knows all the tricks, and the poor guy that's overloaded with work, representing someone with just a flat rate that's going to be given him by the county or the state or whoever pays those guys and gals. Listen, they are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Remember what Jesus said about the rich? With the heart that has been so perverted because of the pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency that it brings, the self-exaltation. Remember what he said? It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, why? Because of this pride. The Bible goes on to say the God of this world, in the New Covenant, the God of this world, Satan, the devil, blindeth the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel and repent and come to their senses and humble themselves and repent of their sin and receive Christ as their Savior. In this kingdom, there's a different value system than the value systems of this old fallen world. And I'm deeply concerned that that envying the wicked and what they have materially possessed has got a hold of many Christians today, that they become envious of the wicked. You know, there's a scripture that says in the Old Covenant, my son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go after them. When you come to Christ as your Savior, your values must change because God changes our heart. We realize, we see things through a different lens. We don't just look at the temporal. We look at the things that are eternal. Hallelujah. For all the temporal is going to pass away. But that is eternal, is everlasting. Listen, how then can anyone be saved, the disciples ask, if it's this hard to be saved? By the way, the word teflouo, I'm getting ahead of myself. The word teflouo in the Greek is blinded, is used for blinded, and it means to puff up with pride. And we have to humble ourselves in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus went on to say, except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. See, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Listen, they set their mouth against the heavens, their tongue walketh through the earth, verse 10. Therefore his people return thither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, listen, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. That their whole life, their whole ambition, the trajectory of their life is to get rich. And when they get rich, what do they want? They want more and more and more, ever getting, never having enough. Why? Because as Billy Graham so appropriately put it and aptly said it, there's a God-shaped hole, a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And it is so big and so empty and so vast that only God can fill it up with himself. Until we're fulfilled like that, there's nothing in this world materially. That doesn't mean that God won't bless you materially, but he wants to fill that hole with himself so that you'll be content with such things as you have, because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Praise God. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And he goes on in verse 13 to say, verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. And all day long, I've been plagued and chastened every morning. I'm getting persecuted. I'm having the problems. I'm the underdog. I'm oppressed by the rich just because I don't have what they have. If I say, verse 15, I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 16. Now I want to stop right here for a minute and go to, let's go to Malachi chapter 3 and let's read 16 through 18. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I believe this book of remembrance is the Lamb's book of life. Amen. When the day of judgment comes, the people who are going to be under that judgment, that damnation to hell itself, will be those whose names were not found written in the book of life. I will remember them because a book of remembrance was written. Hallelujah. And having your name in that book, dear friend, is worth more than all of the riches of the world laid at your feet, because you are appointed to die. And after this, the judgment, friend of mine, but we are not appointed to wrath, the justifiable anger and justice of God, but to obtain deliverance, salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be a Christian today. How about you? He's promised to provide everything we need. Not necessarily everything we want. And the good news is, when you see how rich you are in Christ with what you have, if you have godliness and contentment, you're richer than the richest man who is ever getting and never having enough. always reaching for more and more and more and more, driven by a thirst that cannot be quenched, with all of the desires of the flesh fulfilled with riches. Friend of mine, this is no time to go after the values of this fallen world. This is a time to get close to God and to praise Him and be grateful for what you have in Jesus Christ, and in particular, everlasting life and escaping the judgment to come. Praise God. Listen, I'm going to read this again out of Malachi. And they shall be mine, in verse 17 of chapter 3, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. See, the Lord makes a difference. It's not seen right now, and there's an inequity. A lot of times, as the righteous are suffering, the wicked are living a lavish, seemingly perfect lifestyle. But inside their heart, there is a hollowness that only God can fill, and He wants to fill it. Can you be rich and go to heaven? Listen, how then can anybody be saved? If the rich man, if it'd be easier for a camel, which means impossible, if it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it would a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, then why do we have this get rich gospel that has found its way? It doesn't mean that God won't make you rich, but He won't make you rich if you see riches as the absolute pinnacle of your desire in life, instead of God's kingdom, God's glory, and the peace and the joy that only He can give. If you don't understand that, then we're just like the world, and our values match the world identically. And when that happens, they that would be rich, that is the trajectory of their life, that is the final goal of their life, and they will trample anyone or anything in the way of achieving that. They fall into many hurtful sins, deceitful snares, and they bring destruction on themselves. Listen, friend, the get-rich gospel. And God has made some people rich, but they must sustain a spiritual value system and a kingdom view, not a world view. Listen, this only changes when our perspective changes. It looks like the wicked are prospering, the righteous are the people under the gun. But listen to this. Ecclesiastes 8, 12 and 13. It says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it shall be well with them that fear the Lord, which fear before Him, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. Sounds like a contradiction. His days are prolonged. He's living his life. He's getting the best of everything that life here can offer. And yet his days shall not be prolonged. In other words, what seems like a long time, if he lives to be 90 and he's been an awful sinner, and there's some precious saint of God that dies at 30, there's an imbalance and an inequity. I'm going to tell you about that precious saint of God. He didn't really die. He got promoted. She got promoted. He was transferred from here to heaven. But listen to what awaits the wicked. It shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. You see, it's appointed once to die, and then the judgment. And his days, which what? Even at its best, even if he lived to be 100, which are but a shadow, because he feareth not before God. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It means to face Him as our judge, and not our Heavenly Father, as our judge to bring justice and literally the wrath of God upon us rather than the salvation of Christ to us. Oh, friend of mine, I'm glad I'm a Christian today. Wherever you are in the world hearing this message, whatever you have or don't have, you are richer than the richest of the world if you have Christ as your Savior, God as your Father. How did Asaph recover himself from looking at this the wrong way and seeing this inequity? Listen, he said this, he said, surely, let me back up to verse 17. He said, I thought, let's begin verse 16. I'm going too fast. Gotta hurry, but I'm going too fast. When I thought to know this is too painful for me, I couldn't figure it out until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end, not where they are right now, the inequity, but their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. They're the ones about to slide into the pit. My feet were well nigh slip, but now I'm getting my feet back under me. Listen, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? No one is with them at death. No one holds their hand. They don't even cross Chile Jordan. They're completely alone in this world. The Bible said without hope and without God in the world. And terrors utterly consume them. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Until when? Until he went into the temple. Listen, going to church on Sunday and hearing the Word of God and being with the other saints of God helps us keep an eternal spiritual perspective and not get caught up in the value system of this world. Having Christ, having the kingdom of God within you, the promise of everlasting life when this life is over, and having the promise of Jesus going with us while we're here every step of the way, and then taking us home to live eternally with Him there. The wicked don't have this hope. They are the real poor and wretched of this world. Listen, verse 23 says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. What did he say he would do? Uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Hallelujah. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh, my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is what makes me rich. I have the God of the universe as my God. And in the New Testament, the New Covenant brings us into an intimate, personal, paternal relationship with Him. God becomes Abba, Father, our very Father. And the Holy Spirit bears witness when we say Abba, Father. And Abba is the Aramaic word that babies utter when they first recognize their dad. It's the equivalent to dada. When my son, my first son, and my second son for that matter, when I heard them say dada and reach up for me, oh glory, what a day that was for me, and what a day it is for us. When we can say to the God of the universe, Abba, Father, my Father, when we recognize that we have been we're not just old sinners saved by grace. We were old sinners. We have been saved by grace. But now we are the sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus. Well, what do we get out of all of this? Well, the first and foremost treasure to be appreciated and appropriated is to be able to call God our Father, which art in heaven. Not just Jesus' Father, but our Father, joint heirs of His relationship to and with God. We're not divine. Amen. He's divine. He's the vine. And we are the branches. Glory to God. But we're grafted in to the vine Himself. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all those that go a-whoring from thee. Listen, friend of mine, the New Testament says in the book of James, if we love the world, we are adulterers and adulteresses. We are whoring. We've gone a-whoring from God. And when the world is, the values of the world are adapted and adopted by the church and by ministers and Christians, and we want to be just like the Hollywood crowd in our riches, opulence, and pride, and our self-indulgence. When we want all that they have, we break the commandment to not envy, to not covet what someone else has. And we don't need to, because we have everything that we need when we have Christ and the kingdom of God indwelling us. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, I want to finish something. How then can anyone be saved if it's that hard for people that are puffed up with pride to enter the kingdom of God, and particularly the pride that comes that can be seen in the opulent and the rich beyond measure? There's no humility. That's pride and arrogance and self-indulgence, self-exaltation, and a looking down on others. How can anyone be saved if it's that hard to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus said this, the things that are impossible with men, they can't change themselves. They are possible with God. And I'm going to tell you, the rich, the richest of the world, having an encounter with Jesus Christ can change it all. Amen. You don't have to give up the riches and live in poverty to enter the kingdom, but you have to give up a value system that puts riches above God, above Christ, above the kingdoms of this world in order to obtain an everlasting kingdom that will never, ever, ever pass away. What price is eternal life? What price can be put upon it, especially when it's juxtaposed over against eternal damnation and separation from God? What price? What's it worth? What would a man give in exchange for his eternal, undying soul? If you're a Christian today, you're rich beyond measure, and you need to count yourself as rich. And if God has given you what? With Him and with the kingdom and with this hope and this promise, if you have food, raiment, shelter, and God, amen, you're to be content, for He hath promised you, I'll never leave you. I'll be there with you through all of the pitfalls and problems and pressures of life, and I'll take you home with me when you draw your last breath, and you won't have to fear the judgment to come, because you're not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation, because a book of remembrance has been written. A book holds your name. And the people standing at that great white throne in absolute abject terror, the mighty, the strong, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, the prideful, while they shudder in terror, we are safe at home with Abba, Father, a God who allows us to call Him Father, and who calls us His very sons, His very daughters. You want to talk riches today? I have food. I have probably too much. I have raiment. I have a home that keeps me warm in the winter. It keeps me cool in the summer heat. It keeps out the rain. I'm not in the gated community, but I'm going to live in a gated community forever and ever with my loved ones who preceded me. My child, two children of mine are in heaven already. And when I get home with them and with Him, Jesus, who gave His life so I could live in heaven. Oh, friend of mine, I am so happy with what I have because I have Jesus today. How about you? Let's live for heaven. Let's live for Him. Let's not follow them. Let's pity them. Hallelujah. And let's get a clear picture in our mind of the kingdom that is coming. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done in the meantime right here on earth as it is in heaven. But, O Lord, Maranatha, Thy kingdom come, Thy King come, our Bridegroom come. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name today. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you may be rich, you may be poor, you may have wealth, you may have influence, you may be a nobody to the world. You may be out on the street, you may be in jail hearing this. You may be in a hospital, you may have been given a terminal prognosis, but I'm telling you, it's not too late to change the road that you're on. And it's not too late for God to change your heart. I'm telling you, if you come to Christ today and you repentant of your sins, repenting, coming to Jesus, you will be reconciled unto God if you will receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And God will call you His sons, His daughter. Hallelujah. And Jesus will save your soul. And everything will change. Your values will change. God will change you from an inside out, because He will take out the heart of stone, the hardened, stubborn, prideful heart. He'll give you a heart of flesh, humble, pliable, soft. And He'll give you a new vision, a new trajectory for your life, and that is to live for God here and to live with Him forever there, and come back with Him when He comes to rule and to reign. A new heaven, a new earth. Hallelujah. Listen, friend of mine, don't run into the darkness and don't run with the world. And above all, if you're a Christian, don't envy the people in the world that have the power, have the wealth, have all that this old world can offer, but they don't own the pearl of great price. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus this very day.